Let's continue reading verses 18 through 25 of Matthew chapter 1. Now in these verses, we have the announcement by the angel to Joseph that Mary was to bear a son. This son was conceived of the Holy Spirit and was to be named Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, beginning now at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Once again, let's consider a few background notes. The royal lineage of the coming Messiah and King was given in the first 17 verses of this chapter. Jesus of Nazareth met all the Old Testament qualifications and requirements to be the promised Messiah and King. The purpose of Matthew in this gospel is well underway, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Messiah and royal son of David who was promised in the Holy Scriptures. We've seen that verse 16 strongly indicates that Jesus was born of Mary while she was still a virgin, because the feminine singular in the Greek language is used here. One more time, verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom, feminine singular, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Well, a virgin birth certainly needs some explanation, doesn't it? And that is exactly what we have in these verses before us. An angel of the Lord revealed to Joseph that the child Mary was carrying was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Thus, he would be God and man at the same time. Fully God, because he was conceived supernaturally by God. And fully man, because he was born naturally as the son of Mary. This was in fulfillment of the Isaiah 7:14 messianic prophecy, which is given here in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Wait a minute, you say. I thought his name was to be Jesus. Well, it is. Verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And verse 25, Joseph called his name Jesus. Jesus means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord is Savior. And this very name implies that God is with us, which is the meaning of Emmanuel. Now, one more background note. Verse 25. Joseph did not know Mary or kept her a virgin till she had brought forth her firstborn son. This verse refutes the false teaching that Mary remained a virgin after the birth of Christ. In fact, we read of the children of Mary and Joseph in Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56. More we could give for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this second half of Matthew chapter 1. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, Joseph was righteous in his obedience to the Lord. Joseph was righteous in his obedience to the Lord. In verse 19, we read that Joseph was a just man. And that's the same thing as saying that Joseph was a righteous man. Now, this does not mean that Joseph was perfect or sinless, but his life was characterized by consistently doing what was right before God. We too should live righteous lives. Joseph was not only a good, honest carpenter, but he exhibited outstanding moral qualities in every area of his life. And we certainly see that here in this chapter when we look at Joseph's faith and obedience to the Lord. Notice what the angel from the Lord said to Joseph in verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And now look at Joseph's obedience in verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. You know, you can imagine all of the questions that Joseph had in his mind at this point. How is this possible? And why Mary? There has never been a virgin birth before in the history of the world. Notice, by the way, that the angel does not rebuke Joseph for his former conclusions that Mary had been unfaithful. Notice that? The Lord does not hold us responsible to believe the incredible without divine revelation. Now that the truth has been revealed, Joseph does not hesitate to obey the word of the Lord. Verse 24 again. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. This was not partial obedience, and it was not delayed obedience. This was full obedience. Let me ask you this morning, how is our obedience? Is it partial obedience or delayed obedience? What about in the areas where it's easy not to obey? For example, not meeting regularly with the Lord's people, but instead just doing our own selfish thing all the time. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. To meet with the Lord's people just on and off, when we feel like it, is partial obedience. Another example where it's easy not to obey is in the matter of our giving money to the Lord's work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we read, But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. Not to give to the Lord's work regularly and proportionally is partial and delayed obedience. Joseph practiced full obedience. We will see that Joseph continued to obey the Lord as a righteous man. In Matthew chapter 2, he is told to take Mary and the child to Egypt. Not an easy journey. But Joseph obeyed without delay and without questions. Joseph was righteous in his obedience to the Lord. Doctrinal point number 2. Joseph was righteous in his treatment of Mary. Joseph was righteous in his treatment of Mary. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt when he found out that his beloved fiancée Mary was pregnant? How could she betray Joseph like this? And any explanation of the angel's announcement about conception by the Holy Spirit was just too unbelievable. According to the account in the Gospel of Luke, after the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary, she went away to be with her relative Elizabeth for about 3 months. Joseph must have thought that it was during this time that Mary got pregnant. Under Jewish law, Mary could have been publicly exposed and put to death for adultery because she and Joseph were betrothed and considered husband and wife in that culture, even though they were not yet married and not yet living together. If Joseph exposed Mary at this point, he could have saved his own reputation. And if he didn't denounce Mary, everyone would surely think Joseph was guilty. But Joseph loved Mary, and in order to protect her from public disgrace, he was going to arrange to send her away secretly, maybe back to Elizabeth, and have the baby without a public scandal. Well, it was at this point that the angel assured Joseph that Mary was telling the truth and that he should marry Mary right away. Can you imagine Joseph's wonderful relief at hearing and believing this good news? And you can imagine the joyful reunion of Mary and Joseph. And notice how righteous Joseph treated Mary until the birth of Jesus. Verse 25, once again. Joseph did not know Mary or kept her a virgin till she had brought forth her firstborn son. This was not necessary, of course, to protect the Lord's divine human nature. And we don't read that this was part of the angel's command. But maybe righteous Joseph did so in view of the prophecy, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. In any case, Joseph is a wonderful model in his loving treatment of Mary. Joseph was righteous in his treatment of Mary. Practical application. Trust God when you're slandered. Trust God when you're slandered. Have you ever been involved in a situation where you have been wrongly accused of wrongdoing or slandered in some way? You know that you haven't done anything wrong, and you know that you did the right thing, but you've been misinterpreted, and people have talked behind your back and gossiped about you and started false rumors about you and slandered you. Now, what do you do in situations like this? You trust God for strength to bear up under this pressure. That's what Mary and Joseph did. You can imagine the scandalous talk in that small town of Nazareth. Who would believe their true story anyway? Would you? Mary and Joseph were able to live under this pressure because they trusted in the Lord to give them strength. They even moved back to Nazareth to raise the child Jesus. The Lord gave them strength. And the Lord will give you strength as well when you're falsely accused or when you're bad-mouthed or people talk behind your back. Trust God when you're slandered.